that shots by arm score that I've just heard. I mean, I hope that there's not a, you know, live ammunition that I've heard.
Are they in their headquarters? It's possible.
As long as we are not the targets.
We do form a quorum, sir.
Yeah, we do. Thank you very much. We now do form the quorum. It's 10 o'clock. Colleagues, put the agenda before you. The date today is Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2020. Virtual meeting. Right. Agenda items, opening and welcome, apologies. Can we note, record apologies, Brian?
Chair, we have an apology from Ngozi Tabekulu, who's unable to attend. He is attending the Public Service and Administration Committee. We have an apology for Honorable Shalembe. He will be joining us during the course of the meeting.
Oh. All right. Let me just welcome everyone. To the meeting, the group CEO of AMSCO, together with the AMSCO team. They've requested that they be moved to the first slot and be the first to present because they've a commitment to attend immediately after they've done their presentation today. You are welcome, AMSCO team.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I also welcome General Ngwebi, DMV Acting Director General, and the team. They will be introduced at the right time. Welcome, General DMV Acting Director General.
Good morning, Chair.
Thank you so much, and welcome, Ms. CCB CEO Calvin Gilfillan, and the team. You are welcome.
Thank you and good morning to honorable members and colleagues from other institutions. Thank you.
Thank you. I welcome all of you colleagues to the meeting. Thank you very much. Like as I said, there's a request to start with the AMSCO presentation. Is there any objection to that?
No objection
from my side. Thank you so much. Colleagues, as you know, we are meeting to receive a briefing by the three entities. First, AMSCO. Second, DMV. And third, Castle Control Board on their annual reports for the financial year 2019-2020, and there's also one other item, an in-house matter, consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes. Brian suggests that there are two, he's proposing that we deal with two minutes. One of September the 2nd, and then the second one of 6 October. Thereafter, we adjourn the meeting. Right. So without wasting time, let me invite Advocate Mbada to take the platform. Over to Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the members of the committee. Chair, I'm accompanied by our acting chairperson of the board, Mr. Mutimele, who is in presence, and my executive committee team. They are also ready to deal with questions later on.
Thank you so much. Let me welcome the chair, the acting chair of the board. Still acting chair, were we not told that they have been confirmed?
With effect from 1st of December, Chair. I think the new board will start its work on the 1st of as per the appointment letters of December.
I see. The minister was in the process of appointing a new board.
Yes, Chair. The new board was appointed. We dispatched letters, appointment letters to all the members as per the cabinet approval.
Oh, so now the matter is public?
Yes, Chair.
So you inform us who the members are?
Yes, Chair, we will. We can gladly do that. I will at the end invite the company secretary just to update the committee as to who are the members.
Okay. Welcome, board chair, acting chair.
Thank you very much, Professor.
May I invite you just to give us your opening remarks?
Chairperson, as we say, this presentation is long overdue, but it was not because of our own doing. But I think we are as ready as you can expect us. Everything that we are supposed to do will be articulated in this report. And then I hope the portfolio committee will keep on supporting our efforts. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Chair, the scope of my presentation will cover the performance information, followed by human capital management, our financial performance, and I will touch on the highlights and the challenges, conclude by what we see to be the way forward, going forward in dealing with some of the challenges that we are facing. I'm just trying to ensure that we're all able to connect and see the presentation. Please bear with me.
Let me check that. Are you all okay, members? All right. There's no problem. You may go ahead.
All right. Apologies for the chair. The aim of our presentation, Chair, is to highlight the performance of AMSCO 2019-2020 financial year. We will also, you know, outline the achievements as our indicators and just provide an update on current projects, mainly acquisition projects. Chair, I think I don't want to be preaching to the converted, but suffice to say, this is our standard slide that explains and defines AMSCO as the corporation that we emanate and find our existence from the Act of Parliament of 2003. We're a state-owned entity, listed Schedule 2, public entity. Our shareholder is the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. We report via our board. Key mandate objectives, Chair, is to meet the following DoD requirements, defense material needs, technology development, research and development, testing evaluation. As we do this, Chair, we're expected to perform in an efficient and effective manner, taking into account the economic considerations. We adhere, Chair, to accepted principles of corporate governance and lawfulness. Chair, that's our spread, geographic spread, where we operate. I think I will not be going through this in detail. Suffice to say, we've got operations in Cape Town, Simonstown, Frisca, Victoria West, that is a Gerotech, and Protechnic, Ecotech, and Hazmat facility, which is based in Centurion. There, Chair, in brackets, that's an indication of the number of staff in each facility. Essentially, Chair, we receive, we are funded through a transfer payment, which is 71%. That is through an appropriation by Parliament, and then gets distributed to us via the Department of Defense, Chair. And then the remainder through commercial services, that the revenue that we generate from commercial efforts is 80%. Investment income, Chair, investment of our cash, which amounts to 6%, and the other income is 5%, which will be your ad hoc and additional memorandum of agreement for additional work that you will get from the Department of Defense. Chair, over the years, we adopted a strategy with its mantra behind it, which is on time, in time, towards a sustainable future. And I think that was a realization, Chair, that we needed to be responsive to the client's requirements and make sure that we deliver on time within budget. Chair, we have recently reviewed our strategy. Suffice to say, Chair, we still remain on course in terms of some of our objectives we've set ourselves, as we will see later on, Chair. These are our four key strategic objectives, Chair. We realized for us, in order for us to be sustainable, we needed to generate additional revenue, manage our costs, making sure that as we deliver the services, we do that in an efficient and effective manner, Chair, supported obviously by the ERP system. We'll report later on as to where we are with that automation process, Chair. But key to that, we needed to make sure that we service the customers and we service the stakeholders, which is essentially the Department of Defense, very close to home, the defense industry, Chair, portfolio committee, and other key stakeholders, both internally in the form of our employees and externally, which is the general public as well, Chair. That's how we are structured, Chair. There isn't a change. We report to the board, and the board obviously will then report to the shareholder. We've got four subcommittees of the board. Response, which is one, Audit and Risk Committee, which is a statutory body, Chair, the HR, Social and Ethics Committee, TIS, which is a Technology and Industry Support Committee, and lastly, Acquisition Committee Chair. Those committees chair, the last two, were essentially born out of our strategic efforts, Chair, upon realization to say, for us to be sustainable, we will obviously have to find new markets, and technology and industry support essentially looks at those issues, Chair. But then Acquisition Committee Chair was an effort to make sure decision-making is expedited, and the Acquisition Committee has a delegation to say not all submissions will have to go to the board, but then the Acquisition Committee was also delegated to make certain decisions so as to speed up the processes.
Okay, is it possible to enlarge the screen?
Yes, Jay.
By deleting the slide.
Okay.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
You still have not enlarged it. Have you? Maybe the problem is on my side. You go to the vase right at the bottom.
Yes, I have done just that, sir.
It has not been activated. Just try that again, please.
Okay. Please do that again. Where is the virus? No, go to the device, there's a device, yeah, just press it, there you are, you press it now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it doesn't, okay,
it doesn't
look like, guys, now messed up on
yeah,
the
I think
side.
It's best when they return it to its original form. Now
all right.
On.
Okay, just go back to, the idea was to make one slide on the screen, but you can only achieve that if you eliminate the show of the slide. All right, just go back to the original, because now the whole thing is messed up. All right, let's leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Found it? Yeah, okay. And you all see?
Yes, sir. Yes. Fine.
Better. All right.
Not ideal, but I mean, we will follow.
Yeah. All right.
Chair, coming to our corporate performance, those are the goals, Chair. This slide, Chair, essentially deals with the goals as attained in our SLA with the Department of Defense, Chair, and we reflect our performance, Chair, goals 1 to 2, Chair, you can see there that we, 3 sub-goals were exceeded, whilst 1 was not achieved. The one that was not achieved, Chair, relates to the percentage of DoD system support and procurement requirements to be converted into orders placed. That was 95%, we achieved 92.4%, Chair. The second one, the third goal, Chair, goal number 3, relates to the schedule placement. The target set to measure the average time taken for receipt of requirements to placement of contracts. And the goal, Chair, was exceeded. Goal number 4, Chair, we also exceeded the target. Goal number 5, the goal was exceeded, and the last goal relating to the Nokia performance, Chair, we've achieved and exceeded most sub goals, Chair. So we're quite happy, Chair, to report a good performance insofar as our SLA. Moving on, Chair, to the next category, which is the strategic objectives, Chair. The first target, Chair, relates to revenue generation. to ensure that AMSCO generates sufficient income to meet funding needs. There are three goals, objectives that Chair. The first two relates to the group revenue. The second one relates to R&D revenue generation target. Both target pairs, you can see, were achieved. We had a target of 1.3 billion revenue generation. We've achieved 1.370 million, which is 1.37 billion that we've exceeded. R&D also performed very well, Chair. They had a target of 385 million. They achieved 393, Chair. One target, Chair, that we did not achieve relates to the business enablement. They had a target of 85.2 million. They achieved 31.8 million, Chair. So I think, Chair, we've reflected on that, and there are measures that we have to take. But to a large extent, it's also as a result of some of the partnerships that we're hoping we would have concluded and then signed with the respective partners that we wanted to exploit certain business opportunities. It took slower than we expected, but some of those are not completely off. The question of making sure that in this present financial year we are able to change those things. Some of it relates to sweating of our AMSCO assets. We are on the verge of concluding that and getting the approval, required approvals from the shareholder. The second target, Chair.
So just before we move off this, the revenue that you've just spoken about of 1.37 billion, does it exclude the appropriated amount?
It includes, Chair, at a group revenue level. But then for R&D, it will exclude.
Chairperson, can I just ask on that same one, that billion or million, as in terms of on the presentation, it says million. I just want
thousand,
to know whether it's billion.
It's 1,000 million, which is 1 billion.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
The next objective, Chair, relates to cost management to maintain strategic capabilities whilst reducing costs to ensure that AMSCO remains sustainable, Chair. The objective was exceeded, Chair, namely to improve the net financial position, Chair. The target was break-even. We achieved a surplus of 178 million, Chair. Proceeding as such, Chair, the third objective, Chair, relates to efficient and effective delivery, Chair, that is to reduce the turnaround time of core customer facing and internal processes. All objectives, Chair, were achieved, namely around effective technology and IT management. One of the objectives, Chair, were no opportunity to perform. I think we'll explain later, Chair. And then lastly, Chair, the renewal plan, which is the ERP, Chair, we did not achieve that target, Chair, because we were unable to place or appoint a service provider. Suffice to say, we're hoping by end of March, we would have been able to appoint a company that will run our ERP project, Chair. On the stakeholder, Chair, I think that, Chair, to a large extent, we partially achieved, but then the most objectives were achieved, Chair. But again, Chair, the key to that is to have a strong stakeholder management program, which we have defined how we're going to manage media and making sure that, Chair, we upfront have come up with the clear plans and we will monitor that. Chair, if I were to move along to operational review, I'll deal with acquisition at a high level, Chair, to say the core, which is our core function, is to acquire defense material and related services, Chair. During the financial year under review, we manage a budget of a total value of 12 billion, Chair, for the DoD. And I think the table just illustrates the split between the capital acquisition and maintenance support contract, which is 65-35 split, Chair. But, Chair, obviously, we want to highlight that there has been a significant decrease in the special defense account, and the number of active funded projects will decrease from 39 for the current financial year in question to about 15 in 20 in the current financial year, to 2021. And we anticipate that 2022 there will be a further decline up to only will only be left with one project. We've highlighted, Chair, some of these some of the threats and the difficulties to our client. The last PDSC, we had three presentations where we were actually analyzing the impact of this reality that is materializing in front of our eyes, Chair. And I think the PDSC really welcomed our presentations and their efforts and their plans to actually engage the executive on the issues that AMSCO tabled and the implications of not having the SDA as well as the projects that are declining, Chair. So I think we have also made certain proposals, and I think those were well received. We hope that the situation, Chair, will then have a look at it. The maritime system, while they are slightly behind good progress that has been noted, progress from the contractors, and they currently are sitting at 75% completion, and they were busy with some tests, sea related tests, but that part is on track. In terms of the Biro, Chair, the first vessel, Chair, is nearing completion, and we attended recently a key laying for the second vessel, and they have started in earnest, Chair. We don't anticipate major issues there as well. The acquisition of the airborne system, Chair, the new generation short-range air-to-air missile, as a result of Danel's liquidity challenges, Chair, they are lagging behind, and they are progressively getting very late and behind their schedule. At this stage, Chair, the delays are about 2.5 years, and the situation is progressively getting worse, Chair. Moving on, Chair, to the Roof Acer, I think we've had a number of sessions in this committee, Chair. Issues around Roof Acer are public knowledge, Chair. Suffice to say, there isn't any improvement in this situation, Chair. In Danel themselves, at some point, they have actually, in writing, confirmed to us that they are unable to deliver. We've had recently, Chair, meetings with the current interim CEO, where we've raised some of these issues at the technical level, and the teams are, as we speak, Chair, are meeting and looking and getting the finality in terms of what are the technical, shortcomings that Danel will not be able to meet. At the same time, Chair, We are busy engaging the client environment, and at the COD there have been deliberations. There will be shortly a AAC meeting that will be looking at making the final determination. From the project point of view, Chair, number of options have been developed and will be presented at the AAC for the AAC to, you know, take a final position with regards to the OPEX there. But suffice to say, Chair, we do have an interest that has been generated by foreign partners who are looking at working with Janel. Hopefully, those will materialize to some positive outcomes. We are trying all at our disposal to try and make sure that this project is safe, albeit at this late stage. Moving on to R&D, Chair, as we reflected earlier on, the R&D total revenue for the financial year in question 2019-20 amounted to 494 million, and the breakdown, Chair, as depicted, almost just over 100 million of that revenue is derived from the DOD grants. That those will be your research work and contracts that additionally that we get. And then the contracted work as the various MOAs and SLAs is 242 million rand. And the commercial contracted work share amounts to 127 million. Alcanpan, Chair, in the past you will note Alcanpan has been our cash cow, but I think we were hit hard by COVID towards the latter part of the financial year. But I think Alcanpan, during the financial year, Chair, they really did perform very well, Chair. A number of tests conducted have been reduced partly due to RDM's accident, Chair, which we are all familiar with, and that resulted in the reduction in number of tests that we conduct, and I think we generate a lot of revenue out of those tests, Chair. One of the key highlights for Alcanpan, Chair, was the RDM demonstration of their long-range missile, which exceeded the current record. I think it reached distances of close to 80 kilometers, which was unheard of, Chair. Chair, we have reserved some funds as per the business case that we received at EXCO to a tune of about 10 million, Chair, because of the huge interest that we are getting from the industry, mainly from the Singaporeans, where they also want to expand our services to be able to test the UAVs. So we had to do some investment in terms of the surfacing of our track. So we are looking at creating about 1.5 million kilometer airstrip that will accommodate for the UAV testing of all shapes and sizes. And we've already received exemptions to do such tests, Chair. So I think we are getting into the space of UAVs, and that will probably entail us maintaining those UAVs as we do the tests. So I think we see that as another revenue stream for us in the future. Chair, that's the facility IMT at Simonstown. There's a lot of work there that we've done for the Navy, the multi-influence range systems. IMT Chair has designed and developed an underwater signature, multi-influence range measurement system. As such, Chair, because we've developed it in-house, we're the OEM of this range. The system is successfully deployed and operationally at IMT for the test, evaluation and calibration of SA Navy sonar equipment, Chair. So it's quite excited about it, Chair. And I think when time permits, Chair, it's one facility that is not far from Parliament. We'd also like to invite members of Parliament to visit and see the work that our young engineers and scientists are performing at IMG, Chair. UPRB, Chair, we are all familiar about. Suffice to say, Chair, we had pilot test contracts with India, Chair, and we're happy to report that we have successfully installed and tested in both lines in Allahabad and Lucknow, Chair, which is awaiting for the commissioning certificate, whereupon, Chair, we will receive our last payments that are withheld by the Indians, Chair, and we hope, Chair, that we hope they will give us a bigger contract, which will mean more revenue for us. And we discussed recently, we've had engagement with our new defense attaché, and he's been at IMT last week. So things are looking good for us, Chair. We also received an interest from an Austrian company, Chair, where we're looking at the European and North America's market to expand our reach as far as UPR. So, Chair, I think these are some of the good news we are happy to share, Chair. I'll proceed to the dockyard, Chair. We adopted the renewal strategy for the dockyard, and we have seen a significant progress where they've been able to reduce their deficit, Chair, and they are in a break-even position. The big issue, Chair, that we had at the dockyard was the old scrap and vessels that were lying there, you know, making it impossible for us to accept additional commercial work. But all those issues, Chair, have been resolved with the client environment and the Navy, and the work of disposal has started in earnest. Chair, these are some of the initiatives on the CSI front is concerned. We also indicate the provinces. The list, Chair, is not exhaustive, but suffice to say we do find that we have a footprint in most of the provinces, I think about 8 provinces, and these are just some of the projects that we were engaged with in 2019. So I will not be spending a lot of time, Chair. I think it's itself that's just an overview of our staff profile, Chair, and in terms of the breakdown as in terms of race as well, Chair, and we are on track, Chair. We are meeting our target objectives. There are no concerns in this area. Chair, looking at our financial performance, I must just make a correction there, Chair. I think we penalized ourselves. You see there, Chair, in terms of the tractors, Chair, we indicate that the revenue from sale from goods and services have decreased. It's just an error from our side, Chair. It should have actually indicated that the revenue has increased by 13%. As you can see there, Chair, that the net surplus contributors is a result of the government grants that increased by 4%, the investment income that increased by 33%, employee-related costs, which comprise of 70% of operating expenditure. And we've been able to contain the cost of the employee cost, Chair, and we see that there's a decrease of 1%. This is despite the fact that during the year in question, Chair, we did even grant salary increases. And I think that has contributed towards our positive surplus achievement, Chair. The contractors, Chair, so the operating expenditure increase also, Chair, there is not 7% to 5%, mainly due to the lower amount reversed from impairment of bad debts in the current financial year compared to the amount reversed in the prior financial year, Chair. Other operating income declined by 87%. So, I think the net value position, Chair,
is a positive one, that the surplus for the financial year mainly due to increase in income and recovery of bad debts. So we started collecting from people that are owing us. So I think that's how we find our positive surplus position. Moving on, Chair, if you look at the financial position, Chair, you can see that our current liability, Chair, have decreased due to lower VAT payable at the end of the current financial year, as well as due to lower payables for services received from suppliers. The non-current liability, Chair, increased due to funds received from the DoD, which were for specific purpose and that will be utilized in the future years. Current assets increased as cash on hand was invested in more liquid instruments than in prior year to achieve a higher return. So we're able to achieve that, Chair. But the group retained healthy liquidity and solvency position, Chair. I think that's very important for us. And the total group value increased by 3.3% due to the surplus realized in the current financial year, Chair. Challenge, Chair, remains, I mean, the reduction in the transfer payment, but again, Chair, we are not saying that you sit on our laurels. We continue to find commercial opportunities. We continue to manage our costs. We continue to find ways and means of reducing costs in our execution of our functions. But also looking at growing our revenue through various partnerships with industry, with SOEs. Danel, Chair, remains a big risk for the work that we are doing, and even the client environment actually started a number of other projects to say what are the alternatives, assuming that we don't have Danel. Because ultimately, you know, we need to make sure that we are able to deliver and we are able to supply the solutions and the capability that is required by the South African National Infrastructure. Chair, I think as I've indicated that AMSCO continues to deliver on its mandate despite these difficult global and economic and local economic conditions. We do so, Chair, through these partnership opportunities. And that forms part of our strategy, Chair. We seek to intensify our trading of our assets, and we are hoping that we will get all the necessary approvals insofar as trading of our assets and be able to contract the preferred bidder that has already been identified. Implementation of ERP for the organization, Chair, I think in the new financial year, we should be able to start with that work in NS, Chair. We continue to support, Chair, the DOD insofar as NDIC initiatives are concerned. And lastly, Chair, cost containment measures as defined in our strategy is our focal point as well. And I think, Chair, that essentially concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO, colleagues, questions and answers. Now, the platform is available. Oh, Mr. Marais, I can see your head.
Technology, you know, I get there.
Okay, you go first.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to AMSCO for their presentation, quite comprehensive. There's a number of things that I just want clarity and maybe answers to, if you will bear with me. Clearly, it seems like sometimes I've got a problem by you started off by saying how you have achieved your targets or very close to 100% of your targets. But when we get to your real performance that you are there for, and that is projects and acquisitions, then we see that projects are down from 39 to 15, which is a major concern. Acquisitions, both the two, 65.25% and 34.75%. Those are the crux and the most important reasons why Arms Corps exists. And that is a concern of mine, and how that will impact on the sustainability of Arms Corps, and obviously also the South African National Defence Force. So I want more information as to, you know, how you deal with that, and how that will impact on not only your sustainability, but also in terms of the needs of the South African Defence Force. Given that, I know that you have spent quite a lot of money on consultants in the past, and I think even just to use one name, mm-hmm. one company, Fever Tree, I think you spent about 70 million rand on Fever Tree to help with the turnaround and to secure sustainability for Arms Corps. If you can please respond to the spend on consultants, specifically Fever Tree. We know that there might be a bit of a conflict with the previous ex-CEO, but given that, please just explain that to me and to the commission and to the committee. Then, based on that and that performance that I've shown, and it doesn't look like it will increase in the future. You've even showed the threats of fewer contracts and transfer payments. In June, you promised us no increases this year and no bonuses for 2019-2020. Now, yesterday, the Auditor General told us that if you want to pay bonuses in a following financial year for instance, this is the report of the 2019-20 year, you pay the bonuses, if I'm correct, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you've just paid bonuses to staff. Where have you provided that in the annual financial statements and the annual report? And why did you then proceed to pay bonuses, given your commitments, and it's on record to us as a committee? How do you justify, given all these reductions and reduced projects and expectations? Then you have referred to Biro, Tel, Uf, Eister, and the A-Data projects. I am very worried. You have said that we are very close to the first vessel being completed. The Department of Defense told us that they don't have money for those projects. You have indicated that there was transfers done to you, and I see there was an increase of 33% in investment revenue. Now, is that funds been transferred to you for the Biro and hotel commitments? And if not, how will we and you specifically as our procurement agent, how will we deal with that challenge, given that, you know, those vessels are in a so advanced state of production? What will happen if we cannot honor those specific payments and obligations in terms of those payments? But please, just relate to also the A-Data project, because that is quite important for the South African Air Force and our protection. You've briefly referred to partnerships, and it's like just one-liners. Are there any public-private partnerships on the cards? And if so, how much can you share with us in that regard? And then I also just wanted to ask you on the dockyard. You've painted a quite positive picture about the future of the dockyard. However, you know, I've picked up that, you know, the removal of the, let's call it the rubbish and the excess stuff in the dockyard is only starting now. So if it's only starting now, we know that you are there probably now a couple of years already, involved in the dockyard project, when will then, the dockyard be available for actual work, and given the reduced money to the South African National Defence Forces, specifically the Navy, how do you foresee that, you know, the dockyard will be operating to its most effective, you know, levels, especially with regards to no money be available for the mid-life upgrades of the frigates and the submarines? And then lastly, you've indicated the threats of Danel, and we have been told that the IPs in Danel is actually belonging to government, and it's held in you know, by yourself on behalf of government. To what extent are those IPs protected? And to what extent have you started to use those IPs to source new suppliers of our products, you know, where they can use our IPs to, you know, supply us the same products? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask some of my colleagues to respond to the questions. Starting with the issue of Fever Tree bonuses, and where are we getting, was there a provision for these bonuses and so on? I'll ask the CFO to just explain in terms of what provision we had and what considerations. And lastly, to say the decisions that led us to, in fact, it's the board that approved the bonuses. But I'll ask the CFO to deal with that question. The projects, Biro, Office there, and Hotel, I'll ask Mr. Chrisel to deal with it. Suffice to say, Chair, yes, we're the contracting party. So if there is a default, it will be Armscor who is in default, technically speaking, but also I think we will expand a bit in terms of what are the DOD plans around the contracted projects and how do we see us funding or being financed to ensure that we complete the projects. The CCC is the straight answer, Chair, we don't have any existing CCCs, but the current partnerships is with other state entities like CETA, the police, the correctional services, where we've already signed with those entities, SLAs, with a view of, you know, taking some of the projects and assisting them in the execution of their requirements. Dockyard question, Chair. Dockyard, in short, there's always commercial opportunities, and it becomes a very sad moment when we have to let these clients, you know, go unserviced, because the crux and of the dockyard operation is a dry dock. So if we don't have access to dry docking, there's little work that we can do. So it is envisaged, Chair, once all that redundant or, you know, disposed material, it's going to create a big opportunity for us to start doing that work. That work is ongoing. You know, vessels, as they pass, they always in need of some form of refreshing. And there's a lot of maintenance that we can do in those passing vessels. The Danel IP, I'll ask Prof. Mkhaza to respond to in that order. CFO, can you just respond?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe to start with the bonus issue. I think even at the presentation, when we made the presentation about the impact of the budget reductions on Armscorp during the current year, I think then it's what we said, we want to pay bonuses for the current year and next year for the 2020-21 financial year. I think we also made it visible at that stage that there is still a bonus which will be under discretion of the board for performance of the previous financial year. The board did consider that issue and looked at the, I mean, it was an actual agreement for the employees for performance to be executed in the previous year. The targets were achieved. The board then decided, based on the recommendation of the executives, that performance bonus will still be paid. It should also be noted that our bonuses are not similar to some industry norms where it's massive bonuses. It's basically a month's salary that that's get paid for that performance. So yes, for this current year, the situation is such that we already said that we will not pay bonuses unless our financial performance improves significantly. So that is in terms of the bonuses. In terms of provision, it is there in, if you look at the financials under provisions, and it's also reflected in note 16, the financials, the provision for performance bonus is reflected in the annual financial statements. Chair, just in terms of the consultants, yes, we did use Fever3 for the turnaround process. They did initiate or identify quite a significant lot of revenue streams. And that's what we're currently trying to execute and trying to achieve. And I mean, that's what we also found to take longer than what we actually initially estimated. I mean, the process is a bit slower to actually realize some of that revenue. I think the amount that we paid for Fever3 was just in excess of 50 million, not 70 million at that stage. So yes, the deposit's a significant amount. We are still trying to generate some of those revenues. And that's what we, with the support to other state organizations, as well as some other commercial venues like the sweating of assets, those were all outflows from that process that we're still currently implementing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Marie asked regarding Byron Rufacer and a daughter, the issue of funding for those programs. Chair, I must start off by indicating that for all three of those programs, we have financial authorities from the DOD, which covers the full contracted cost of those. It is either true that on the special defense accounts, on the SCAMP, there's insufficient funds at the moment for Project Rufacer and for Project Byro. The deficit on Project Byro is not that big. It's approximately 420 million rand. And as of last week, we have had indications that Defense Material Division, who is our direct client on the DOD side, has come to an agreement with the CFO of the DOD that those funds will be provided. So that should cover Project Byro. Project Total is fully funded. There is sufficient funds on this campus. The Aid Arthur program is fully funded. So we have got the financial authority for that. It's all there. Although we are not spending it as fast as we can, also as we should. The real problem lies with Project Rufacer, which will still run for a number of years. And as of next year, there's no more funds on the special defense account or on the SCAM for Project Rufacer. It's for that reason, as the CEO has indicated, that we have developed a number of different scenarios for Rufacer going forward. Submission to that effect is currently waiting for the next AAC meeting, which is chaired by the minister, to make a decision on Project Rufacer. At the moment, we still have a surplus on the program, so there's money which has been rolling from previous financial years. So there's approximately 2 billion rand at the moment in the current financial year, which if not spent, will then roll into the next financial year, albeit insufficient to cover the cost of the total program. Thank you, Chair.
Just on a technical point, I just wanted to understand, but they say it is fully funded and there's authority on that. But you will recall that the CFO of DOD told us there are no money available from them. So if Arms Corps say it is fully funded and authorized, and one of my questions is that money with Arms Corps? Is that part of the transfers that is already with Arms Corps, or are they waiting for DOD to make that money available, which they told us there are no money available to transfer? So I just want clarity on that because it's a bit confusing.
So the money is still with the Department of Defense.
I think what the CFO mentions, we have got the general defense account and the special defense account. So I think what the CFO refers to, there's no money in the general defense account to allocate to the special defense account for this. So the money that Dahlia is talking about is sitting in the special defense account, and it is allocated for these projects. It's only the 400 million that will be allocated now from the general defense account to the special defense account to make good the shortage of that fund.
Mr. Mara, are you covered?
I am, yes. However, I mean, we are told that the defense account is nearly depleted and that there are no plans to replenish or you know, move more money to the special defense account. And that is part of the problem. So on the one hand, we are told by Arms Court, no problem, there are money. It's in the special defense account. The Department of Defense told us no more money in the special defense account. So it sounds a bit contradictory. You know, the one says there's money, the other one says there's no money. So, you know, that is a high risk for me and a big red flag, you know, and we need clarity from both parties on this.
I think let's not confuse the two statements. I think Treasury says there will be no new money allocated to the special defense accounts, which does not necessarily mean that the special defense accounts does not have money, you know, in its own account. It was allowed to retain in its unspent funds. It's unlike other entities that at the end of the financial year, they surrender the money back to fiscus and only get it drawn back to them upon justification that it was committed, this, that, and so on. But all the uncommitted funds are surrendered back to Treasury. But in this case, whatever was allocated to the special defense account remains with it. And but then the question, maybe which you could ask, or I may ask, is how much is there left in the special, in that kitty, in that special defense account, to pay for outstanding debts and to service contracts in terms of work in progress and new contracts. There I'm not pretty certain.
Yeah.
And who has that information, advocate?
Can I just...
this question, for example, is that in this year under review, they are saying, you know, they managed and executed 12 billion rand DOD contracts, and you know, 7.7 was for technology at the capital acquisition projects, and 4.4 billion rand was for the procurement and maintenance support contracts. So it suggests to me that there is money in the kit, minus that which was appropriated every year to the defense, to the special defense accounts. And do you have any idea how much is there left in the special defense accounts?
Can I just add, I think you are quite right in that. But you will recall at the Lahotla, I specifically asked the CFO, do you have money for projects via the hotel to make those payments? And he told us, no, he doesn't have that. So those are part of the confusions. But I think your question is valid in terms of the kitty, but we will just make sure which kitty and what kitty and who has confirmed those kitties. Thank you very much.
And where it is.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you have an idea?
Yes, Chair, we do, and I think I'll ask Davis to share that information, and also, but the chat is for next year onwards. But for now, I think we do have quite sizable in the region of 7.5 billion. But I'll ask Davis to confirm those figures.
Thank you, Chair. This CEO is correct. In the current financial year, we have 7.5 billion rand on the stamp, which is allocated to two projects. It decreases significantly in the next financial years. But, Chair, we must just understand how the special defense account works. The allocation from Treasury is in the next financial year in the order of 560 million rand. The special defense account, other than the GDA, can roll money from one financial year into the next. So we've got a number of projects which are running at the moment, which are funded with money in the current financial year. That money, which will not be spent in the current financial year, is not yet reflected in the GDA in the next years. So whatever is not spent in the current financial year will then roll into the next financial year to fund those, or the deficit on those programs. As I indicated earlier, the only programs which has a real deficit and which will not be fully funded as a result of the rollovers is Project Ufaster. We have got options, which is the minister at the moment, and Project Pyro, which has a significant grand deficit on the SDA. So the indications from the CFO of the DOD is that that shortfall on Project Pyro should be rectified within the next week or so. Then we will have sufficient funds. Even if those funds are only moved into the current financial year, it will roll into consecutive years and will then fund the budget.
Okay. I think that clears the question.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I will then hand over to Prof. Mkhaza to deal with the DNL IP and IP in general.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And Chair, it is correct from Mr. Marie that we do have a record and register of all IP that's generated from contracts that are placed on DNL. We have that catalog. We have now begin the process of prioritizing that catalog in the sense that to understand the majority levels of all those IPs that will be generated in the various contracts. However, DNL is still very much alive, okay? And therefore there's not been any requirement from us to make use of that IP or exploit in any other way. But should that need arise from our client, we should be in a position to advise them on the where the IP generated in terms of the technology areas is and how best that IP may be utilized. But I'm hesitant to get to that level, CEO, because that's not where we are. But we keep as the custodian of the IP proper records of all the IP we are generating from our DNL contracts. I hope that suffice.
Chair, I think those will be our responses to the questions that you raised, unless I'm leaving.
No, thank you so much. Our intention was not to keep you long because you have achieved a clean audit. We commend you for that achievement. Is maintain it going forward. I just scanned through your annual report. It's friendly and well presented, and I think please maintain that. I think even your clients, I'm sure they are happy when they go through your report that they are dealing with a credible entity. And really, it's promising. I think we congratulate you for the achievement. Please maintain it. But while still on that, said I don't want to keep you long, for a long time here because of that. Two questions. One, it relates to the claims against the Department of Defense. Yeah, I know you are defending. You have been joined in as an applicant. In one or two claims that you are fighting out in court, in one or two countries. One of the claims relates to a commission. I think it's about 300 and something million rand. I asked myself how it came about that we ended up with having to defend those claims abroad. But you answer that question. I know you have information. And two, it's sorting of properties. Sorting of properties to pay salaries will be as good as selling your household silver to buy grocery and maybe grocery is a necessity, but to buy just to spend, not to invest, so that you can generate more money. What is your plan in relation to that? And those would be my two questions and, before I discharge you. Thank you very much.
Right, Chair. I think so far as the legal claim is concerned, I'll ask the advocate Senator just to give us a bit of a background and how we got ourselves involved there. But Chair, you are right. I mean, on the second matter, because switching of assets to pay salaries. So, yeah. With all the challenges that are faced by the clients, and as well as, the constraints within Fiscus, Chair, concerned. Of course, I think, Chair, that also impacts on us heavily. And I think that's why there are a number of all these commercial initiatives around doing work for other state entities because of the capabilities that we have around complex acquisition, project management, and then the technical know-how. So we had started this journey precisely. We realized that sustainability, we can't just rely on the client environment when the client itself is faced with budget cuts. So those initiatives ensued at that point upon that realization. And Chair, even currently, we know there are certain, divisions within AMSCO that either have no contracts or very little work that is coming from the client environment. And as such, those environments are seriously bleeding. And these are the discussions as executives to say, beyond just our, you know, appointments as executives, but we do have that fiduciary duty. As you know, that the Companies Act, King IV, that we will not want to be, you know, declared as reckless executives or directors, because we have a duty. If the business is bleeding, we obviously, from a strategy point of view, we come up with all these initiatives. But if everything else fails, Chair, we will have to confront the situation. But we can't, like you are saying, dispose an asset simply for short-term gain, which is salaries for month to month or a year. So we are inundated with those issues, Chair. And I think we have embarked on a number of, you know, plans where we've even said, going forward, we will manage the employee costs very tightly. We have not filled vacant. We've cut out of unnecessary vacancies. We have redeployed our staff to other areas. I mean, case in point is acquisition. When there's a slowdown in terms of projects, we've deployed some of those resources either to R&D, either to supply chain, or into maintenance work, where they even are taking more responsibility in assisting the client in the formulation of specification, consulting, because there is also a huge shortage of technical expertise from a DOD environment. So we have availed our services, Chair, but bottom line is, at some point, if nothing works, we will then have to do what is responsible steps that we'll have to take. But it will be irresponsible of us just to say whatever money that we'll be making from asset sweating, it will just go into salaries. But again, where we need to invest into new areas or services, we do actually make a case and make sure that we expand our service offering. I'll then hand over to Advocate Sene regarding the claims. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There are two pieces of litigation in question, especially security as well as quick and set off.
Quickly to hear him.
There are two pieces of litigation, Chair, arise in two forms. The first one is Beverly Securities, and the second one is Quaker Peace Center. I will start with your lead, Chair, with Beverly Securities. This claim, Chair, emanates from the 80s, where it is alleged that there was assistance obtained from some Portuguese firm or person for them to provide us in kit form, Oryx helicopter kits, to enable Apartheid South Africa to prosecute its whatever it was seized. They have no proof of this. We have no proof of such agency relationship. They have not been able to do so. We have litigated in Lisbon and other places where they have not been able to demonstrate through the preserved evidence of those who are allegedly present as doing that to show that there is such a basis. In fact, last year or so, they sought to compel the Auditor General to provide them with records in South Africa of the goodness of their claim. They were not able to do so. In any event, the Auditor General has indicated they do not have such information, but they would not provide it in any case. So, Chair, it has been long running. We believe that we should be able to conclude the matter early next year. all things being equal, because it is not being litigated in South Africa. So that's the first one. The second one being the quicker piece, and that is more recent, where there is an attempt to append or excise the what is called the arms deal. Basically, that's what it is. There's reliance flimsily on authority given as well as loan agreements and so on. Once again, both these matters are not directly our matter. One is the DOD, the one is basically the government. But we are defending that as well. And we have no doubt that we should be okay. Those are the matters.
Thank you very much. I think that concludes our engagement today. Advocate, CEO, Group CEO, you and the team, thank you very much for the presentation. You are. And thanks to the chair.
Sorry, chair. Pardon me, chair. You had made a request or information about the new board. The company secretary, I think, is ready to spend a few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the portfolio committee members. Chair, Cabinet approved the AMCO board appointments on the 18th of November for a period of 3 years, effective from the 1st of December 2020. And the members of the board are Dr. Philip Dexter, who will be the chairperson of the board, Zenli Mutimele, who will be the deputy chairperson of the board, Ambassador Ndlovu, who's been reappointed, Dr. Reginald Lubisi, Ms. Refilwe Matenji, Major General Retired Lungile Stefani, Ms. Fundiswa Kweia, Mr. Timothy Sukazi, and Ms. Beta Mashinin. And of course, Chair, we have the CEO and the CFO as executive directors of the board.
Thank you very much for that information. And, thank you very much. Congratulations, Mr. Motimela, we appointed.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Colleagues, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. DMV? I now invite General Gwebi and the team to take us through the DMV report on their financial, on their performance for 2019-2020.
Okay. Morning, Chair. Morning, honourable members.
Morning, sir.
Can we be assisted to share the presentation?
Brian, who is our host?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. All right.
Chair, honourable members. We've got the diligence, empowerment, and stakeholder management in smart inclusion ask. We've got the CFO, Mr. Ndlovu, who is with us, and we've got Mr. Siengo, who is the chief director responsible for research and policy development including his director, who is director responsible plan, Mr. Ramtan, with us. And then we've got also our Jacob, she is with us, Mr. Masakoma, and then Ms. McCurdy in the office of the team. So this is the team chair which is supporting this endeavor. Our share is to present the annual business report and annual financial statement for the year ending March 2020, which is 1920 financial year. Just for preparation before one goes on chair, is the presentation visible?
It is, but I would have preferred it being just a single slide on the screen, minus those on the left-hand side.
On our slide, it's reflecting a single slide.
Just leave it at that. I think the problem is somewhere between you and us. You may continue. We can see. We can still see this one.
Next slide.
Hello, are we still together? Have we lost you?
Yes, sir, we are still together, sir. In terms of the content of the report share in the presentation, we look at the aim, we'll also look at the provision, the set of provisions. Part A, which speaks to the formula, general information. Part B will speak to performance information. And part C, governance. Part C will speak to the human resource management. And part E will speak to financial information. The aim is to provide an overview based the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Seven and the Department and the Defense of March 2020. Just to confirm what informs us in terms of the legislative and policy provisions, we are guided in all what we do by the sector. Number are you on now? I'm on slide number 5.
So far you've gone. Colleagues, am I the only one who's experiencing this problem? I only see slide number, the first slide. Colleagues, what slide are you on?
Mine is at the beginning, you just like to.
You're still at the, oh yes, now they are, yeah, now you are on the
recorded tonight. Okay. Slide number five.
You are comfortable with what you see, Chair?
Yes, you may continue.
On slide five.
That you are on it.
Then, Chair, covering part A, which speaks to the Department General Information. This section shall provide the outlook of the performance of the department, and this is provided in the foreword of the Honourable Minister. And of course, it speaks to the aligning departmental performance with government trajectory. And also, it speaks to the accounting of such report on organizational performance, and it gives substance to the executive authorities' priorities. And also, at high level, it speaks also to the financial performance of the department. And it confirms the strategic overview of the department, that vision, mission, and the values of the department. And the mandate of the department is also part of this section. Next slide.
government has been grappling with this, and the department has worked with the Chinese. Thank you.
Thank you. employees to the established level of taking form in that environment. That the program tools of support and established level 21, this is where I would say that the 8 of the 11 data is actually there. There are three in terms of the books, but the field is only one, which we might take a few better, and then two, which is the field. And then there's only one, which is on field. And the director is currently taking. There's also one which is not here. And that was in terms of the SMS books, they had about 5 of them. And today, there is the number of the 2 programs, number 1 and number 2. Not there. aspect in
governance, there is intervention required. When we go to the area of financial and development, in terms of proper leverage, keeping the network plan is I
refer to 2.1, what we have just now mentioned. Currency between the DOD and National Treasury, and it's like a tug of war. And it eventually turns the soldiers and the real not only with the National Department, but specifically provinces and the government. Eventually, the provinces that the project in the different areas of the Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I think just tell us what you don't know.
I'll stick to that. Because we have had the opportunity to respond to your questions on our draft and we